و به لعنت بر محمد و آل محمد بلندتر سلامات.
اللهم صل علی
الشيطان اللعين الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله الذي ليس لأوليته ابتداء ولا لأزليته انقضاء، وانحصرت الأوصاف عن كنه معرفته وردعت عظمته العقول، والذي لا تواري عنه سماء سماء ولا أرض أرضا. ثم الصلاة والسلام والتحية والإكرام على سيد البتحاء سيد المرسلين والأنبياء أبي القاسم محمد المصطفى. وعلى الجوهرة القدسية البتول العذراء سيدة النساء فاطمة الزهراء، وعلى بعلها أمير المؤمنين وبنيها الذين أذهب الله عنهم الرجس وطهرهم تطهيرا.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد.
لا سيما على بقية الله وحجته الكبرى الذي بيمنه رزق الورى وبوجوده ثبتت الأرض والسماء، ولولاه لصاحت الأرض بأهلها، واللعنة الدائمة على أعدائهم أجمعين من حين عداوتهم إلى قيام يوم الدين. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في كتابه الكريم: قال بما أغويتني لأقعدن لهم صراطك المستقيم، ثم لآتينهم من بين أيديهم ومن خلفهم وعن أيمانهم وعن شمائلهم ولا تجد أكثرهم شاكرين. وقال أيضا: إن جهنم لموعدهم أجمعين لها سبعة أبواب. صلوات.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد.
الله سبحانه وتعالى has created seven doors for the hellfire and the Satan. Since the very beginning has been trying hard to deceive the humankind by adopting various ways over the past thousands and thousands of years to drag us to the hellfire. And he has already succeeded to drag millions and millions of humans, the majority of the humankind, into the hell. Quran has already said that لَا تُطِعْ أَكْثَرَ مَنْ فِي الْأَرْضِ. Don't obey the majority on the face of earth. They will mislead you from the path of Allah. So we realize in the light of the verse of Holy Quran that majority is not just not an authority in Islam. Majority is not just authentic in Islam, but actually, as a matter of fact, majority of the people on the face of earth are misled and will be misleading us if we start following them. So we are proud that we believe in the values of Quran and Ahlul Bayt alayhimus salam, that we care about haq. If we are on haq, we don't care how much is the number of our following, because we are proud over our belief of haq. Because the Holy Prophet has already has said that, ilzamu as-sawad al-a'zam, keep with the mainstream community. And when somebody asked the Holy Prophet that, what is your the mainstream community, what is the main jama'at that you are talking about? Ma jama'atu ummatika? Prophet replied, jama'atu ahlil haqq wa in qalb. The community belonging to haqq, although they may be less in number. In some of the ahadith it says, wa in kanu ashratan, although they may be 10 in number, Prophet said. So even though the followers of Haq are 10 on the planet Earth, it's okay. We don't care. As long as we are on Haq, we are successful. So we should never care how much people are available to follow us. And this is not the right phenomena. That's why we always say that when we are holding the majalis, don't care about what's the number of people showing up. Because look at any Maulana, hame to majma nahi aayega. Agar humne fala sahab ko bula liya, to wo majma nahi aayega. Ke hame to sare saal ke fund jama karne hain. To ye majma aana ya na aana, ye mayar nahi hai. Mayar janab Fatimatu Zahra salamullah alaiha ki rizayat hai. इसलिए कि हम मजलिस जो पढ़ते हैं जनाब फातिमा ज़हरा सलामुल्लाह अलैहा के लिए पढ़ते हैं तो पैगंबर अकरम ने क्या फरमाया था कि इन्नल्लाह यग़ज़बु लिग़ज़ब फातिमा व यर्ज़ा लिरिज़ाहा अल्लाह ताला फातिमा के गज़बनाक होने पे गज़बनाक होता है और फातिमा के राजी होने पे राजी होता है तो मजलिस का तो साहिबतुल अज़ा तो वो है ना हमारे उलफा कहते हैं कि ये सारी की सारी जिम्मेदारी है ईच एंड एवरी सिंगल जॉब विच इज बीइंग एग्जीक्यूटेड इज एक्चुअली डायरेक्टली सुपरवाइज्ड एंड मैनेज्ड बाय हजरत ज़हरा सलामुल्लाह अलैहा
अल्लाहु
इज गोइंग टू डिस्ट्रीब्यूट वाटर फॉर द अज़ादारान For the participants in the Aza of Imam Hussain, who is going to distribute the food? Who is going to spread the sheets or the carpets for the Aza? Who will set up the mic? Who will recite the Nauha? These are great activities. That you are talking about the greatest personalities ever created by Allah. So don't underestimate these activities. These are the best of your A'mal. Anything and everything that you can do for the sake of walayat of Ahlul Bayt are the best of the amal of your life. So here it's all ibadat. Everything is ibadat of Allah. Where does the majma and the crowd come in? Majma aaye ya na aaye, iski hame koi parwa nahi hai. Hame parwa is baat ki janab Zahra humse razi ho jaye. اہل بیت ہم سے راضی ہو جائے امام زمانہ ہم سے راضی ہو جائے یہ ہمارا مقصد مجمع نہ آئے اگر آپ حق بات کہہ رہے ہیں اگر آپ وہ کچھ کہہ رہے ہیں جو جناب زہرا چاہتی ہیں کہ کہا جائے تو اس کے بعد مجمع آنا چاہتا ہے نہیں آنا چاہتا یہ ان کی مرضی ہے ہم جناب زہرا کے راستے کو چھوڑنے والے نہیں ہیں ہمیں اس کی پرواہ نہیں کہ مجمع کتنا آ رہا ہے ہمیں اس کی پرواہ کہ جناب all we care about is what does Hazrat Fatima salamullah alaiha like. This is the purpose why we are holding the majlis. So what I was saying is that Satan has been deceiving the humankind, and this deceptions of Satan has been very much targeted, and because he has control. But when we say that Satan has control over our thoughts, it doesn't mean that Satan controls us. It means that he just provokes ideas of bad deeds in our minds. Waswasa. Deceptive ideas in our minds. That's it. Satan cannot grab the hand of a person and take him to a place where he should do a wrong deed? Sharon doesn't have that power. And he's going to say on the Day of Judgment, مَا كَانَ لِي عَلَيْكُمْ سُلْطَانٌ إِلَّا أَنْ دَعَوْتُكُمْ فَاسْتَجَبْتُمْ لِي فَلَا تَلُومُونِي وَلُومُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ. I did not have any control over you guys, except that I called you. I invited you. That's it. All he did, he invited us. فَاسْتَجَبْتُمْ لِي. You were the ones who actually responded positively to my call.
So there were a whole bunch of other people, the 124,000 prophets of Allah also calling you.
Why did you respond to their call? On the Day of Judgment, Satan is going to say to the people who followed him that all I did, guys, was to invite you towards the haram. I had no control over you. There were so many people who were inviting towards Allah as well.
Of course, there were so many books sent by Allah, so many messengers, Nabi and Rasul and Imam and Awsiya. Every prophet has a deputy, the Awsiya of the prophets. They're always there. The earth cannot be void of a hujjat of Allah at all times. There has been hujjat of Allah available at all times on the earth. They were warners and nazir and munzir for every nation. إِمْ مِنْ أُمَّةٍ إِلَّا خَلَى فِيهَا نَذِيرٌ. For every nation there was a warner. So nobody can say, I was not told. It's up to us, because we had the nafs-e ammara.
We had the desires embedded in our existence, which is basically وَنَفْسٍ وَمَا سَوَّاهَا فَأَلْهَمَهَا فُجُورَهَا وَتَقْوَاهَا.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had provided the capability to us. We can go towards the path of taqwa. If we like, we can go towards the path of fujur and harams. This is our personal choice. So, وَهَدَيْنَاهُ النَّجْدَيْنِ. Allah has taught us both the ways. You know how to, Allah has sent down the prophets, sent down the messengers, taught us what is haq, and how to discriminate between haq and batil.
Now, whether we choose haq and follow the path of haq, it's our own personal choice and likeness, or whether we choose batil and start following the path of batil,
that's our choice and likeness. So we are the ones, because of our nafs and desires, who are responding to the call of shaitan and not responding to the call of the prophets who are also inviting. So who is to be blamed? Shaitan is not going to take the entire blame on the Day of Judgment.
Lumu anfusakum. Condemn your own selves. You are the ones who actually accepted my call. There were a whole bunch of other people who were calling you towards the path of haq. Why didn't you follow that direction?
So now we understand that this human, the control of shaitan is not as such that he can do whatever he wished to do towards the human. No. If that was the case, then there would have been no test.
No jannat and no nar. No heaven and no hell. No reward, no punishment.
If that was the case. But we have the perfect control. So now the humans themselves are responsible. First of all, Satan has the share of the haram. He'll be at the bottom of the hellfire.
He is at the bottom of the hellfire right now.
Because we believe that the Jannat and Jahannam exist right now in the teachings, according to the teachings of Quran and Ahlul Bayt. We don't believe that Jahannam and Jannat will be created on the Day of Judgment. Jannat and Jahannam are two haqa'iq and realities which are existing right now. As soon as we obey, we follow the path of taqwa, we are in the paradise, and when we disobey, we get burnt by the flames of the hellfire straight away. Now the uqubat and punishment which arise, please listen to this discussion very carefully, as this is a very important aspect of the series of lectures. The uqubat and punishments that we talk about in Islam, the uqubat actually itself, the punishment, the concept of punishment can be visualized in four forms. Either the punishments are belonging to category number one. What is category one of punishment? Just like a person, you know, wants, sometimes you punish somebody because you want to take a revenge. You are the victim, you are mazloom, you want to take the revenge. Quran has also said, فَاقْتَدُوا عَلَيْهِ بِمِثْلِ مَعْتَدَى عَلَيْكُمْ وَلَا تَعْتَدُوا. If somebody did tajawuz, ta'addi, zulm against you, you have the right to do exactly similar to what he did towards you. وَلَا تَعْتَدُوا, and don't do more. Don't do tajawuz and ta'addi. Don't go further more. That means if somebody did one to you, you have also right to do one towards him. If he did five towards you, you can also reciprocally do five against him. But you cannot do six. If you do six, you will be a sinner. So as much amount of harm that somebody inflicts you or misbehaves towards you, you have a right, equal right, to do the same towards the person. But if you forgive, it's much better. That's your choice. So that doesn't mean that we can forgive. We can forgive those who are doing sins or misbehaviors and bad behaviors towards us. We are not talking about we should forgive about those who are doing bad behaviors towards the Prophet and Ahlul Bayt. This is a totally different department. Don't try to mix these two things, because there are some people today who have been spinning and twisting this idea of forgiveness in Islam and applying it on the tawheen which is committed against the Prophet and Ahlul Bayt, and saying we should forgive them also. Look at the crookedness of some people, you know, saying no, even though the Prophet has been insulted, you know, by Salman Rushdie, Prophet has been insulted, so many tawheen and insult has been done, but we should all forgive. Isn't that right? This is what some people are now trying to say, in the name of forgiveness. Well, you have the right to forgive somebody who misbehaves towards you. If Prophet was there, Prophet has the right to forgive or not to forgive, that's up to him. But do we have the niyabat given by the Holy Prophet, or does the mujtahid has the niyabat given by the Holy Prophet to do the afw towards a person who is insulting? No. What is our obligation is to do what Allah has said. We don't have the right to forgive anybody on behalf of the Holy Prophet. Prophet himself has the right to do what he wishes to do. And then there are some people who are trying to justify that didn't the Holy Prophet forgive, you know, those people, those mushrikeen of Makkah at the time of the victory and Fatih Makkah. How shameful an example being given by some so-called, self-claimed intellectuals who are tolerating the insult of the Holy Prophet and still claiming to be scholars. So we find that even at the time of Fatih Makkah, look at the Sharh of Ibn Abil Hadid al-Mu'tazili. He has mentioned that in the volume number 17, that Prophet did not forgive 10 people at the time of Fatih Makkah, 6 of the men and 4 of the women. And their, you know, of course, their wrong deeds have been mentioned, what wrong deeds those 10 people have committed in the past. So Prophet did not forgive everybody. There were some people who were not forgiven by the Holy Prophet also. Why don't you mention that? Why don't you tell the whole story to the people? So they are trying to pick and choose some of the things and to justify their political interests today by supporting the Zionist lobbies. See how evil is the behavior of some people. So when we are talking about if somebody performs a bad deed towards you, it's very good if you forgive. Islam has so much reward for forgiveness, but you can forgive somebody who misbehaves towards you. If somebody misbehaves towards the Ahlul Bayt alayhi salatu wasalam, if somebody insults the Ahlul Bayt or insults the Holy Prophet, no one on the planet Earth except Imam Mahdi alayhi salam has the right to forgive that person. No one has the right to forgive. Our duty is to implement the hukum of Allah. So, what I was saying is that there were four kinds of, we can visualize punishments in four different ways. One is like the, when the victim, for the sake of taking a revenge, apne dil ki tashaffi ke liye intiqam lena. Just like a person is a victim, So he has the right to take a revenge from the zalim person, but then he can only do exactly what the guy did towards him, nothing more than that. That's the category number one of uqubat and punishment. Category number two is that which is mentioned by our muhaqqiqeen, like that of a qadi, for the sake of discipline. Lots of punishments are implemented in a country, in the court system. The qadi, the judge. Well, in Islam, it's a totally different scenario. In Islam, no one has the right to be a judge except a mujtahid. A non-mujtahid does not have the right to be a judge in Islam. That's first of all. So, in the Islamic court system where there's a mujtahid, qadi and judge available and he implements the punishment on a criminal, well, this kind of uqubat and punishment is to maintain law and order and discipline and nazm in the society. So it's not that qadi is feeling a sense of revenge against that person. Qadi is a neutral person. He doesn't feel any sense of revenge against that criminal. Isn't that right? That's his job, because he has to implement the law and order and implement the law of justice to maintain the law and order. It's not for the sake of taking a revenge. So that's the category number two of uqubat and punishment. Category number three, our muhaqqiqeen have said, is like that of a tabib, a doctor. Let's suppose there's a patient who has to take preventive measures. कई चीजों से इंसान को बास बीमारियों में परहेज करना होता है. अगर फलां बद परहेजी कर ली तो ये फलां आरजा लाहिक हो जाएगा, फलां बीमारी लग सकती है, कैंसर हो सकता है, सरतान हो सकता है, शुगर हो सकती है, दूसरे अमराज इंसान को लाहिक हो सकते हैं. You know, doctor prescribes medicine for us and tells us the preventive measures. So if we don't abstain from certain things, we may end up in some problems or diseases or illnesses. Or, you know, so those uqubat and aftermath and after effects that we will achieve because we did not take the preventive measures, is the third category of the uqubat. This is unlike the first one, which is for the sake of revenge, unlike the second one, like the qadi and judge who punishes the people for the sake of law and order, not for the sake of taking revenge. This is the third one, which the doctor says, well, don't eat this, otherwise you will end up getting that sort of maraz or illness. This is the third category of uqubat. Whereas the fourth and last category is just like when we are teaching our kids, hey, don't take the knife in your hand, don't put your finger into the electricity outlet, don't put your hand into the fire. This is the fourth category of uqubat, which is immediate. As soon as the child puts his hand on the blade, you will find the hand would get cut. As soon as the child pokes his finger into the electricity outlet, he may get the shock. As soon as he puts his hand into a fire, the hand would immediately get burnt. So when coming to the deceptions of shaitan, coming back to our discussion, our mufassireen of Quran have mentioned that because of the deceptions of shaitan, the category which we fall in as human beings, if we get deceived and we misbehave towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, our uqubat and punishments belong to the category number four. That means that as soon as we commit a sin, because Satan deceived us, he provoked some bad idea, and I had my nafs-e ammara, my desires and wishes and whims, which are dragging me towards following his deceptive ideas, and I did a haram, as soon as I did it, the action is immediate and I immediately get burnt. That's why the soul gets burnt. Immediately. So this has to be, this is lazimai takmimiya. It's the built-in effect. Irreversible. Just like the water has burudan. Just like the fire has warmth in it. You know, it burns the things. There's a built-in effect. So, lazimai takwiniya. Likewise, when we do a sin, iska lazimai takwiniya gunah ka ye hai, ke insaan jal jata hai. Lazimai takwiniya, یہ تو اللہ تعالیٰ کی مہربانی ہے کہ اس نے ہمیں رسولوں کے ذریعے سے، ائمہ طاہرین کے ذریعے سے، کتابوں کے ذریعے سے، وحی کے ذریعے سے بتا دیا کہ یہ کام تمہارے لیے نقصان دہ ہے۔ یہ تو ہم جل رہے ہوتے، ہمیں پتہ بھی نہ چل رہا ہوتا۔ نہ جانے کتنے ایسے لوگ ہیں اس دنیا میں کہ جو رسولوں کی بات کو نہیں سن رہے، کان نہیں دھر رہے، اور وہ جل ہی رہے ہیں نا۔ پیغمبر اکرم نے کتنے کیا فرمایا تھا کہ اقرأوا القرآن ولا تتخذوا بيوتكم قبورا كما اتخذت اليهود والنصارى، قرآن کی تلاوت کیا کرو اور اپنے گھروں کو اپنی قبروں میں تبدیل مت کرو، اپنی قبریں مت بناؤ جس طرح سے یہود و نصارہ نے بنا لیا۔ یعنی they are the living deads living in their houses. Why? Because the revelation of Allah is not recited in their houses. کتنے گھر ایسے ہیں جن کے اندر قرآن کی تلاوت ہی نہیں ہوتی ہے؟ If you can find a house where the Holy Quran is not recited, then you won't find the noor in that house. That is the grave of that living dead person. This person is a living dead in the dictionary of Rasulullah. Sadaqa Rasulullah. He said the truth.
Salawat par Muhammad wa ale Muhammad.
Now, this is the first point about tonight's discussion, that what is the category of the uqubat. The category of uqubat is lazimah takwiniyah, it's irreversible, it's immediate, and we straight away we get burnt and our soul is in the hellfire. The second point to remember is that Satan doesn't just do the waswasa. That is step number one for shaitan. Step number two is taswil. Taswil means tazyeen. Decorating his policy, his evil deception in front of the eyes of the humankind. This is not a bad act. He poses the act and he expresses the act to look and to seem very nice, very good, very beautiful to us. And because Allah has provided fitrat, which is inclined by birth, inclined towards the tawheed of Allah. As long as our fitrat, our pure nature is unimpaired and salim and untainted, we can never commit the sin. So in order to, and Allah has provided the aql from inside, the pure intellect, which always guides us towards the ibadat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I already told you the hadith in one of my previous speeches, where Imam Sadiq al-Islam has said in Usul al-Kafi, Al-aqlu ma ubida bihir Rahman. Aql is with which you worship Rahman. Waqtusiba bihil jinan. And you worship the paradise. So aql can never mislead you towards the sin. Nobody can say, I did the sin because my aql, my intellect misled me towards the sin. No, it's a false statement. Don't say that. There's a misrepresentation of the fact. You better say, I did this because I crushed my aql and intellect, and I allowed my desires and wishes to overcome my aql, and my nafs and my desires dragged me towards doing this sin and opposing my aql, because aql never asks you to do a sin. So Allah has provided multiple hujjats, certain hujjats from inside. Inna lillahi, that's how it's there in the hadith of Imam al-Kadhim alayhi salam. Inna lillahi ala nasi hujjatayn, hujjatan zahira wa hujjatan batina. Amma zahira fal rusul wal anbiya wal a'imma, wa amma al batina fal uqul. Allah has two kinds of hujjats and evidences for the people. One is the apparent zahir evidence, and one is the hidden evidence. And then Imam Qadim alayhi salam says the apparent and zahir evidence is the for rusul wal anbiya wal a'imma, the messengers and the prophets and the imams. And wa ammal batina fal uqul, and the hidden messenger of Allah is the aql, hidden hujjat of Allah. So aql is a hujjat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But which aql are we talking about? Not just anybody on the street can say, well, I'm also an intellectual because Allah created me as a sane person. I'm not insane. So I can just decide on my aql, on my own, that what I'm supposed to do. No, that's not what it means from the hadith. Aql is the al-aql salim. That aql which is not impaired by the human desires. And that aql which is purified, aql of those people who have taharat of the qalb, that aql is hujjat. Not just anybody on the street can say, well, we are also sane people, we are not insane. Hum to koi pagal nahi hai, hum bhi to aql rakhte hain, lehaza jo kuch meri aql keh rahi hai, bas main khud decide kar sakta hu, mujhe kisi rasool o imam o nabi o quran ki zarurat nahi hai. Ye murad nahi hai, aql e saleem murad hai. اگرچہ ہمارے یہاں عقل و دیوانگی کی بھی تعریفیں انسانوں کی الگ ہیں, رسول اہل بیت کی مختلف ہیں. اور واقعہ معروف ہے, آپ کو یاد ہوگا کہ پیغمبر اکرم نے ایک شخص کو دیکھا جو کہ مجنون تھا. روایت میں پیغمبر نے پوچھا کہ اسے کیا ہوا, معلوم قال یا رسول اللہ صلی اللہ علیہ وآلہ وسلم رأى مجنونا فسأل ما له. پیغمبر نے ایک مجنون انسان کو دیکھا, آپ نے پوچھا اس کو کیا ہوا. تو کسی نے کہا کہ یا رسول اللہ انہ مجنون, یہ شخص پاگل ہے. پیغمبر اکرم کا پرسپیکٹو, زاویہ نظر, دیدگاہ, ویو پوائنٹ ہمیشہ الہی ہوتا تھا, مادی نہیں ہوتا تھا, محدود نہیں ہوتا تھا, ملکوتی ہوتا تھا, الہی ہوتا تھا. لہذا ملائکہ پیغمبر نے کس انداز سے دیکھ رہے ہیں اور ہم کس انداز سے دیکھتے ہیں, کتنا فرق ہے ہمارے ویو پوائنٹ میں اور رسول کے ویو پوائنٹ میں, اہل بیت کے ویو پوائنٹ میں. تو پیغمبر نے فرمایا کہ بل ہوا مصاب, یعنی یہ کہو کہ یہ افیکٹڈ ہے. Instead, the guy was an insane person and prophet asked what happened to him. And one of the companions replied to the holy prophet that Ya Rasulullah, this guy is insane, he's mad. And prophet said, don't say he's mad. He's affected. And then he said, innamal majnoon man aasarat dunya ala al-akhirah. Pagal to wo hota hai jo dunya ko aakhirat par tarjeeh de. A insane person is actually the one who gives preference to this world over the akhirah. That is a majnoon person. But we have a different perspective, you know. So what I was saying is that basically the Holy Prophet has and the Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam have defined for us very clearly, and these teachings that they have defined for us have made it clear that basically if we follow what they have commanded, this is going to make us powerful enough to stand in the face of the deceptions of shaitan. And shaitan, when he is deceiving the human beings, one of the best ways that he adopts is not just the waswasa, that he goes to the second level, which is tazyeen and tasweel. Bure kaam ko achha bana ke muzayyan karke آراستہ کر کے انسان کے سامنے پیش کر. That's the step number two that he performs. بَلْ سَوَّلَتْ لَكُمْ أَنفُسُكُمْ, جیسا کہ جناب یعقوب علیہ السلام نے اپنے بیٹوں سے کہا جب وہ جناب یوسف کو کنویں میں پھینک کر آ گئے اور جھوٹ موٹ کا خون قمیض میں لگا کے آگے اپنے نبی کے سامنے جھوٹ بول رہے ہیں کہ بابا یہ تو بھیڑیے نے کھا لیا یوسف کو, اور یہ دیکھیے اس میں بھیڑیے کا یوسف کا خون بھی لگا ہوا ہے قمیض پہ. جناب یہ یعقوب نے جب قمیض کو اٹھایا دیکھا تو دیکھا کہ اس میں تو کہیں سے پھٹی بھی نہیں ہے, کوئی دانتوں کے نشان نہیں ہے. اگر بھیڑیے نے کھایا ہوتا تو کہیں سے تو قمیض پھٹی ہوتی, قمیض تو کہیں سے بھی پھٹی بھی نہیں ہے. The shirt of Prophet Yusuf was not ripped apart. It was, you know, it was nice, it was okay, it was just normal. There was no signs of a wolf attacking Prophet Yusuf. What did Hazrat Yaqub say to the brothers, to his sons? بَلْ سَوَّلَتْ لَكُمْ أَنفُسُكُمْ. یہ تصویر کا کام, شیطان کا کام ہی یہ ہے کہ برے کام کو اچھا بنا کے پیش کرتا ہے. You're not the only one who is doing that, a whole bunch of other people who do it. What happened to them? So what if I do it? It's okay, when we get old we will do tawbah. This is kind of various kinds of excuses have been furnished by shaitan to make the thing look beautiful so that you can crush your aql and your fitrat, your Islamic meaning of intellect, not the worldly meaning of intellect, how the people say, because Prophet has given us a different meaning of intellect. So if Shaitan tries to crush and deceive the Islamic intellect and the fitrat and nature which Allah provided from inside, which are the two hidden evidences from inside, and then the external evidences which are the prophets and the imams and the books, and all those teachings are available in front of us, the inner evidences and the outer evidences, Hujjat-e-Batina and Hujjat-e-Zahira, and we ignore all those evidences and we heed to the deception of Shaitan, because he makes the wrong things seem very nice, muzayyan, beautiful, good to our eyes. Doing ta'weelat and tawjihat. Kabhi bhi ta'weel ka darwaza apne upar mat kholne de. Jis din aapne ta'weel o tawjih ka darwaza, bringing and furnishing lame excuses for your wrong deeds, never open this door for your own self, because that's the destruction of your spirituality, and you will not be following the path and the seerat of Ahlul Bayt if you do that. This is exactly what was adopted by the enemies of Ahlul Bayt when Muawiyah came into Medina after the so-called truce and sulh that took place. And he started to distribute and to bribe the people of Medina by distributing rishwat and bribery to the people of Medina. And finally, when he saw Imam Hassan alayhi salam, he said to this Qadim, his servant, that the whole amount of money that you have distributed by now to all the people of Medina, give the similar amount of money to Hassan. The Khadim did the same, Khadim of Muawiyah, the servant of Muawiyah, and he picked up that much bags of the money and he put it in front of Imam Hassan alayhi salam. And Muawiyah made this comment, he tried to play very smart, he made this comment that Ana Ibnul Hind, I am the son of Hind, main Hinda ka beta hoon. When Imam Hassan was about to leave, the Khadim and servant straightened the na'lain and slippers of Imam Hassan alayhi salam and put in front of him. Imam Hassan wore his slippers because that servant put it in front of Imam Hassan. As soon as this servant put the slippers in front of Imam Hassan, Imam donated the same money to that servant and said to Muawiyah, Ana ibn Fatima, I am the son of Fatima. Money you are trying to put a minnat and ihsan over me, that you are trying to give it to me and you are showing that you are a very sakhi person. This much of money Imam Hassan is ready to give to a servant. You know, who are you to compare yourself with the sakhawat of Imam Hassan alayhi salam? So, and finally when Muawiyah moved from there and he found that Abdullah ibn Abbas did not come to support Muawiyah, because Abdullah ibn Abbas was a supporter of Imam Ali alayhi salam, a supporter of Imam Hassan alayhi salam. So he didn't come. So Muawiyah, when he was passing by with his entourage and his people, and he found Abdullah ibn Abbas was sitting with a bunch of his friends. So people stood up, Abdullah ibn Abbas kept sitting. He didn't stand up in respect of Muawiyah. So Muawiyah said, he was of course upset with this attitude. And he said to Abdullah ibn Abbas that you are not supposed to teach the Quran to the people. Abdullah ibn Abbas is a student of Imam Ali alayhi salam. And he learned the tafsir of Quran from Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam. So we... objected on Muawiyah that you are stopping me from teaching the Holy Quran? He said, no, I'm not actually stopping you from teaching Quran. What I mean is that teach them the tafsir of Quran, but don't teach them the ta'weel of Quran. And the tafsir is the zahir, and ta'weel is the batin. So keep them busy in the zahir of Quran. Don't teach them the batin of Quran, the ta'weel. Ta'weel is the real meaning. Tafsir is the zahir. If you are stuck with the zahir, you can never be led towards the straight path. Those who are just following the zahir, you can see there are 73 sects in Islam. 72 are in the hellfire, according to the hadith of the Holy Prophet, Al-Ba'an-Naji minhum wahid wal-baqi halik. All the successor, the succeeding sect is only one and all the rest are in the hellfire. So 72 sects who are following the zahir only, without the ta'wil and batin of Quran, are in the hellfire according to the hadith of Rasulullah. The Prophet had said to Imam Ali al-Salam, سَتُقَاتِلُ عَلَىٰ تَعْوِيلِ الْقُرْآنِ كَمَا قَاتَلْتُ عَلَىٰ تَنْزِيلِهِ. Soon you are going to fight the people upon the ta'wil, the hidden real meaning of Quran, the way I fought the people over the tanzeel of Quran. Ta'wil is the hidden real meaning. So don't teach them the hidden real meaning. Teach them just the zahir apparent meaning. Keep them busy. Keep them, try to fool them so that they can be stuck with the zahir only, apparent meanings. Look at the behavior. So, and if you keep on opening the tawjih and bringing excuses for your behavior, because now everybody can twist Quran according to his own likeness. And that's exactly what happens. So Imam Ali al-Islam, when he sends Abdullah ibn Abbas to do nasihat to the Khawarij, he says to Abdullah ibn Abbas that لا تخاصمهم بالقرآن. Don't debate with them through Quran. فَإِنَ الْقُرْآنَ حَمَّالٌ ذُو وُجُودٌ. Quran ki to kai sari shaklein nikalti hain. تَقُولُوا وَيَقُولُونَ. You say and they say. بَلْ حَاجِجْهُمْ بِالسُنَّةِ. بلکہ ان کے ساتھ حدیث کے ذریعے سے, سنت کے ذریعے سے گفتگو اور debate کرو. فَإِنَّهُمْ لَنْ يَجِدُوا عَنْهَا مَحِيصًا. So now you find some people saying, oh, you only tell us from Quran. And I always say to these kind of people, why are you asking us to only talk from Quran? Do you believe in those who said حَزْبُنَا كِتَابُ اللَّهِ? کیا آپ ان کے ماننے والے ہیں جنہوں نے یہ کہا تھا کہ حَزْبُنَا كِتَابُ اللَّهِ? پیغمبر اکرم نے تو دو چیزیں چھوڑی ہیں, اِنِّي تَارِكٌ فِيكُمَ الثَّقَلَيْنِ كِتَابَ اللَّهُ وَعِتْرَتِ اَهْلَ بَيْتِ. تو پھر رسول و اہل بیت کی جو حدیثیں ہیں وہ بھی اتنی ہی معتبر ہیں جتنی قرآن کی آیتیں معتبر ہیں. تو جب رسول اہل بیت کی حدیثیں بھی اتنی ہی معتبر ہیں تو صرف قرآن سے کیوں بیان کیا جائے؟ کیا آپ بھی حزب اللہ کتاب اللہ والے ہیں؟ تو کتاب اللہ کو اہل بیت کو پیٹ دکھانے کے بعد صرف قرآن کو لے لینا در حقیقت اہل بیت اور قرآن دونوں کو چھوڑنے کے مترادف ہے. اس لیے کہ پیغمبر نے اپنی حدیث میں یہ بیان فرما دیا کہ انہما لن یفترقا حتی یرد علی الحوض. یہ دونوں آپس میں جدا ہو سکتے ہی نہیں ہے جب تک حوض کوثر پہ مجھ سے نہ مل لیں, حوض پہ مجھ سے نہ مل لیں. معلوم ہوا کہ اگر کوئی شخص یہ دعویٰ کرے کہ میں صرف قرآن کو لینا چاہتا ہوں, اہل بیت کو چھوڑنا چاہتا ہوں, تو چونکہ وہ اہل بیت کو چھوڑ رہا ہے, اہل بیت قرآن سے جدا نہیں ہو سکتے, لہذا وہ قرآن کو بھی چھوڑ رہا ہے. لہذا فرمایا آپ نے, لہذا what I was saying is that never try to furnish excuses and tawjihat for your sins, because that's how shaitan tries to pose and express a bad deed in the form of a nice looking thing. He never poses a bad deed, you know, and you never see in the media a killer, a qatil comes and says, hey guys, I am a killer. No thief is going to come and say, hey guys, I am a thief. That's not the way, that's not how it works. You have to present yourself in a way, you may be making so many wars, you may have your army sitting in 86 countries in the world, but you will still continue to say, Department of Defense. Minister of Defense. Instead of calling him Minister of War, you call him Minister of Defense. This is called euphemism in English. To use terminologies which is sweet-looking terminologies. Instead of calling it like occupied territories, you say settlements. Isn't it right? Settlement doesn't have any bad sense in it. Isn't that right? Settlement. It's not occupied. Settlement. That's how they play with the words. Euphemism, euphemistic approach. So basically, you're fooling the minds of the public opinion. That's how they have been doing in the history. That's how the Banu Umayyah have been doing. That's how Banu Abbas has been playing. That's how today the media has been playing with the minds. We have to be aware enough to understand what is going on and not get fooled with the tasweer policy of shaitan to pose the wrong deed in the form of nice looking good deeds. Because the bad deeds will never be presented in front of you in the bad deeds. Satan is not fooled. He's not a fool, he's not a silly person. He's very cunning. So you find when Ammar Yasir was being killed by the army of Muawiyah in the Battle of Siffin, and one of the Ashab went, one of the people went and said to Muawiyah, "See, Ammar Yasir has been killed by you. Now it has been proven that you are on batil and Ali ibn Abi Talib is on haq, because Prophet has already said in his famous hadith, تَقْتُلُكَ الْفِئَةُ الْبَاغِيَةُ. Prophet said to Ammar Yasir, that a rebellious group is going to kill you. So now it is proven that you are Baghi, Imam Ali is the Khalifa, you are on batil, Imam Ali is on haq, because you have now killed Ammar, so you are Baghi and batil. It is clear. But then Muawiyah started to do ta'wil and tawji. He said, no. Oh, did I ask Ammar Yasir to come and fight against me? I did not invite him. It's Ali ibn Abi Talib who invited him to come. Ali invited him, Ali brought him. So Ali is responsible for the killing of Ammar, not me. I did not invite Ammar to come. When Imam Ali heard that statement, he said, oh, then it means that the Holy Prophet is then responsible for the Shahadat of Hazrat Hamza. Because Prophet took Hazrat Hamza into Battle of Uhud. That's why I said to you, brothers and sisters, never open the door of ta'wilat and tawjihat and excuses for the wrong deeds. Because the step number one for our spiritual improvement is to accept the wrong. अगर हम नक्स का इतराफ नहीं करेंगे तो कभी भी तकामुल रूहानी की तरफ आगे नहीं बढ़ सकते. तकामुल की तरफ बढ़ने का पहला कदम नक्स का इतराफ है. सो नाउ वसवसा एंड तस्वील, बुरे काम को मुजयन करके अच्छा खूबसूरत बना के पेश करना, ये दिस इज द स्टैंडर्ड ऑपरेशन प्रोसीजर SOP ऑफ शैतान. दैट्स हाउ ही ऑपरेट्स, दैट्स हाउ ही वर्क्स. इज नथिंग आउटरेजियस. दैट्स हाउ ही इज कंटीन्यूअसली डूइंग. दैट्स द SOP ऑफ शैतान. लाइक एवरी बिजनेस हैज अ पॉलिसी, दैट्स द पॉलिसी ऑफ शैतान. सो वी फाइंड दैट व्हेन कुरान टॉक्स अबाउट द ह्यूमन बीइंग्स, Quran has mentioned two categories of human beings in Surah Yasin. Please pay attention. لِيُنْزِرَ مَنْ كَانَ حَيًّا وَيُحَقَّ الْقَوْلُ عَلَى الْكَافِرِينَ. So, for the sake of warning, inzar kiya jaye uska ke jo zinda hai. Daraya jaye usko ke jo zinda hai. To warn the person who is alive. وَيُحَقَّ الْقَوْلُ عَلَى الْكَافِرِينَ. So, our scholars say that the people, human beings, are two kinds in the dictionary of Holy Quran. Either they are alive or they are kafir. So everybody who is alive is actually the person who is mu'min, who is a mu'min, is alive. And anybody who is a non-mu'min, in the dictionary of Holy Quran, anyone who is a non-mu'min is actually dead. A kafir is a dead person in the dictionary of Holy Quran. Only the one who has iman is alive. This entire story of shaitan, that Allah created Prophet Adam, blew into him from his soul, وَنَفَخْتُ فِيهِ مِنْ رُوحِي, and then Allah commanded everyone to bow down, all the angels bowed down except Iblis did not bow down, and Allah had announced already, إِنِّي جَعِلٌ فِي الْأَرْضِ خَلِيفَةً, I am creating a Khalifa on the earth. My teacher Ayatullah Jawadi Amuli Hafizahullah was saying that the Ayatul Istikhlaf, the ayat of Surah Al-Baqarah, which talks about the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made Insane Kamil, the perfect human being, as the Khalifa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this ayat we call it Ayatul Istikhlaf. So my teacher was saying, if someone says that the entire Holy Quran is sent down by Allah as a tafsir of this one ayat of Holy Quran, which is Ayatul Istikhlaf, which talks about the fact that Insan-e-Kamil is the Khalifa, the perfect human is the Khalifa and vicegerent of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If someone says the whole Quran is doing the tafsir of this one ayat, he has said the truth. اب آپ نے ملاحظہ فرمایا کہ سارا کا سارا قرآن در حقیقت کس لیے نازل ہو رہا ہے؟ اس آیت خلافت کی تفسیر کرنے کے لیے کہ انسان کامل کو اللہ نے خلیفہ بنایا ہے، اس کی تفسیر میں پورا قرآن نازل ہو رہا ہے، اور کمال کی بات یہ ہے کہ اسی ولایت و خلافت کو بھلا دیا گیا، جس ولایت و خلافت کی تفسیر کے لیے سارا قرآن نازل ہو رہا ہے، اس ایک آیت کی تفسیر کے لیے اسی پہلو کو ہمارے یہاں بھلا دیا گیا. اگرچہ ہم دوسرے فرقے والوں سے خوب بڑھ چڑھ کے کہتے ہیں کہ نہیں، یہ مولا کائنات کی یہ جو ہے یہ کوئی دوستی کا تھوڑی اعلان ہوا تھا. تپتے صحرا میں پیغمبر نے 1,20,000 اصحاب کے مجمع میں جلتی ریتی پہ جب فمن کنت مولا ہو فہذا علی مولا کہا، یہ محبت اور دوستی تھوڑی مراد تھی. دوستی تو سب ہی کرتے تھے، یعنی ان کو محترم، ان کو لائق محبت سب ہی سمجھتے تھے، لائق احترام تو سب ہی سمجھتے تھے. یہ علی کی خلافت و ولایت و حکومت کا اعلان تھا. یہ کہتے نا آپ دوسروں سے، جب دوسرے آپ کے سامنے کہتے نہیں مولا سے مراد تو دوست ہے، مولا کے لفظ کے 116 معنی ہے عربی میں، تو یہاں دوست مراد ہے. آپ کیا کہتے ہیں ان سے؟ نہیں یہ دوستی کی بات نہیں ہے، یہ تو حکومت کی بات ہو رہی ہے. خلیفہ کون ہوگا؟ حاکم کون ہوگا؟ مولا یعنی حاکم، ولی یعنی حاکم، ولایت الفقی یعنی حکومت، فقی کی حکومت، ولایت یعنی حکومت. یہ کہتے نا. مگر unfortunately the most forgotten story in our communities is the same political aspect of the سیرت of اہل بیت علیہم السلام. Look at the behavior of our community in general. Since the time of Imam Ali alayhi salam, how many people did the bayat, stayed on the bayat of Imam Ali? The hadith of Imam Baqir alayhi salam says there were 12 people who stayed. In the light of the hadith, we understand there were 12 people who remained on the bayat of Ghadir. The Prophet took the bayat from the people. He didn't just announce, he took the bayat, he installed the tents, and all the ashab were coming one by one and doing the bayat and oath of allegiance with Imam Ali alayhi salam in the presence of Rasulullah. Isn't that right? So now 120,000 ashab have performed their oath of allegiance in bayat for the khilafat and hukumat of Imam Ali. But after the shahadat of Rasulullah, we find there were only 12 people mentioned in the hadith of Imam Baqir alayhi salam. 6 from Muhajirin, 6 from Ansar only in the city of Medina among the men who kept, who remained on the bayat of Imam. This is the situation of the way, and people were praying. The mainstream community didn't stop praying. Tariq al-Salat to nahi ho gaya tha, namazain bhi ho rahi thi, roze bhi ho rahe the, haj pe bhi ja rahe the, baaki sare kaam bhi jo ibadatein hain sab kuch ho raha tha. Itni ki ibadatein sari ki sari logon ne chhod di. Wo kya cheez chhodi thi? Wohi chhoda tha ki jis cheez ka elan hua tha. Baaki sare kaam to ho hi rahe the, wo aaj bhi ho rahe. وہ تو اس وقت بھی ہو رہے تھے جب مسلم نے عقیل کے پیچھے 18,000 اور تاریخ ابن کامل کے بقول 24,000 خط لکھے گئے. وہ کون لکھے گا خط؟ غیر لکھیں گے خط کہ مولا امام حسین آپ ہمارے مولا ہیں، آپ تشریف لائیے، امامت کا حکومت کا حق آپ کو ہے. یہ کیا غیر لکھے گا امام کو؟ اپنوں نے ہی تو لکھے تھے نا 24,000 خط. نماز بھی پڑھنے کے لیے تیار ہے مسلم نے عقیل کے پیچھے. اور مقتل ابی مخنف کے سٹیٹسٹکس کے بقول میں نقل کر رہا ہوں کہ 18,000 نے خط لکھے ہیں، 4,000 کے ساتھ مسلم عقیل نے قیام کیا. اس کے بعد جب مغرب کا وقت آیا ہے تو مغرب کی نماز میں 4,000 سے کتنے لوگ باقی بچ گئے؟ 30. From 4,000 people who were along with Muslim ibn Aqil in when Imam Hussein sent him, the number decreased into 30 at the time of the Maghrib end. And by the time Hazrat Musa ibn Aqil ended his Maghrib end, I'm just telling you the situation of the Shia community in general, so we understand why are we holding these majalis of Imam Hussain alayhi salam, and what is the purpose, what to understand, what to gain out of it, what's the mission of Ahlul Bayt? Did we understand the walayat of Imam Hussain? Did we understand the mission of Karbala? So to make a purpose out of what we are doing, to take it out of a ritual and rasam, because rasam ka koi sawab nahi hai. Ye ibadat ho rahi hai, ye rasam hi ada ki ja rahi hai. To main arz kar raha tha ke maghrib ki jamaat mein maktal abi mikhnaf ke bawal 30 aadmi the karo muslim nahil ke beech hai. Theek, hazaron ne bayat ki hai, apne logon ki baat hui, dehron ki baat nahi ho gayi. 30. And by the time the maktal of abi mikhnaf says, when he came out from the masjid after the prayers and he headed towards the Darul Amara, the royal compound, there were 10 people. 4,300, then 30 in the Jamaat of Maghrib, and now 10 people. Women were coming, mothers were coming, grabbing the hands of their sons. What had happened to you? Go back to home. Go to your home. Don't be with Muslim Daki. Go back to your home. You have nothing to do with this. Moms were coming and grabbing the hands of their sons. Don't support, don't go there, don't go with him. Just go to home. I'm asking you to go. Fathers were coming and grabbing their hands of their kids. And by the time Maktal Abi Mikhnaf says, Muslim Naqeel Salamullahi Alayhima, when he enters into the Darul Amara, the royal compound of Ikhliziyad, La'anatullah Alayh, there were, and he turned around to see, there was no person standing with him and coming after him. 18,000, 4,000, 300, 30, 10, 0. Did the people turn Tarku Salat? No. Didn't the people claim that we love Imam Hussain? That's why they wrote the letters. They didn't hate Imam Hussain. Did the people stop fasting in the time of Hazrat Muslim Abid? No. Did the people stop the Hajj? No. What did they stop that caused Imam Hussain to get killed and his naib Hazrat Muslim Abid to get killed? What did they do not do? What's the precisely thing that they did not perform? The walayat. This is what was mentioned in the hadith of Imam al-Baqir alayhi salam, that buni al-islamu ala khamsin, sahiha of Zurara. Buni al-islamu ala khamsin, Islam is founded on five. Ala salati, wa zakati, wa siyami, wal hajji, wal walaya. Islam is founded on five things: on the prayers, on the fasting, on all the monetary taxes of Islam, and the hajj and the walayat, the fifth one. And then Imam Baqir al-Islam says, فَأَخَذَ النَّاسُ بِأَرْبَعٍ وَتَرْكُوا هَذِهِ. You know what the people did? The people grabbed the first four: prayers and fasting and Islamic taxes and hajj. And taraku hadihi, and left this one walayat. For wallahi, Imam al-Baqir al-Islam says that I swear to Allah, wallahi la yastakmilu al-arba'a, they can never fulfill and complete those first four unless they complete those first four through the walayat of Ahlul Bayt. Sari ki sari namazen bhi muh pe maar di jayengi, sare roze muh pe maar di jayenge, sari khums aur zakat aur fitra jo nikalenge, sadaqat nikalenge, sab muh pe maar diye jayenge, sare anjam diye hue haj muh pe maar diye jayenge agar walayat e ali aur walayat e ahle bait aur walayat e imam e zamana ki pairvi nahi ki.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad.
Asal masla to ye hai ki aap hakim kisko mante hain. ये ना बताइए कि मैं नमाज इतनी पढ़ता हूँ, मैं तो नमाज शब पढ़ता हूँ. नमाज शब तो खवारिज भी पढ़ते थे. नमाज शब पढ़ के आए थे ना इतने मुस्लिम कल का कत्ल करने के लिए मौलाए कायनात को, कि अब हम अभी तक इतने बेवकूफ रह गए हैं कि जाहिरी नमाज शब को देख के फैसला कर ले कि फलां साहब बड़े नेक हैं. तो नमाज पढ़ते थे, नमाज तो सारे ही पढ़ रहे थे, कि उमर इब्ने साद नमाज नहीं पढ़ रहा था लानतुल्लाह अलैह, इधर मौला इमाम हुसैन नमाज पढ़ा रहे, उधर मौला साद नमाज पढ़ा रहा था. कोई यजीद तारिक सलात तो नहीं था? यजीद ने भी नमाज जुमा बुध के दिन पढ़ा दी, तारिक सलात तो नहीं था ना? शराब के नशे में धुत जुमे की नमाज बुध को पढ़वा दी. तो क्या अब इतने ही सादा अब तक बच गए हैं 1400 साल से इमाम हुसैन की कुर्बानी की याद जिंदा रखते हुए भी हम अभी तक लोगों की खोखली नमाजों को मेयार समझते रहे हैं? वलायत अहले बैत रूह इस्लाम और रूह ईमान है. लिहाजा पहले ये बताइए कि हाकिम किसको मानते हैं अपना. बाकी सारी बातें नमाज और रोजों का जिक्र ना करें अभी मेरे सामने. ये तो सारे फुरूए दीन की बात है, पहले उसूल दीन तय हो जाए आपका. इमामत तो उसूल दीन में, इमामत बिलोंग्स टू द उसूल दीन. हाउ कम यू अराइव टू द फुरूए दीन? लेट्स नॉट जंप देयर. सो वी फाइंड there's lots of people. One person came to Imam Baqir, and there's no concept of neutrality in Islam. We don't care about the siyasat, politics, we don't get into that. Well, this is your politics. Don't say you don't get into politics. This is exactly your politics. So you are also playing politics, and your politics is that you don't want to say anything against the tyrants and cruel governments. This is your politics. So don't say you have nothing to do with the politics. Yehi aapki siyasat hai. Zalimon ke zulm pe khamush rehke apni zindagi, lifestyle, convenience, Islam of convenience. Some people consider Islam of convenience is ye aapki siyasat hai. To ye na kahiye na ki hamara siyasat se koi taluq nahi hai. Taluq to aapka bhi hai. Agar aapka taluq hai us siyasat ke saath ke jo aapki aasani, aasaish, suhoolat, aapki duniya in a nutshell. آپ کی دنیا کو محفوظ رکھ سکے کیونکہ دنیا داری ہو رہی ہے تو یہ نہ کہنا کہ ہمارا سیاست سے کوئی تعلق نہیں کم از کم لیٹس بی اے مین لیٹس سے دا ٹروتھ تعلق تو ہے سیاست سے کیونکہ یہ آپ کی سیاست ہے کہ آپ مذمت نہیں کر رہے ظالم کی یہ مولا امام حسین کی سیاست ہے کہ وہ برداشت نہیں کر سکتے یزید جو ہے وہ کلم کلا فسق و فجور انجام دے رہا ہے امام حسین برداشت نہیں کر سکتے مثلی لا یبایع مثلہ مجھ جیسا انسان اس جیسے انسان کی بیعت نہیں کر سکتا یہ ان کی پالیسی ہے اب یہ ہماری بے غیرتی ہے کہ ہم اس جیسے یزید صفت لوگوں کی یزیدیت کو برداشت کر کے بیٹھے رہے خاموش بیٹھے رہے یہ ہماری سیاست ہے تو یہ نہ کہنا کہ سیاست سے تعلق نہیں ہے تعلق تو ہے یہی آپ کی سیاست ہے کہ آپ ظلم پہ چپ ہیں سیاست تو سبھی کرتے ہیں everybody is playing politics but somebody some are playing the politics of Imam Ali Islam which is the سیاست of عدل and justice of Allah And some are playing the siyasat of Muawiyah, which is Makkari and Kharijis. Positive politics and negative politics. Everybody is playing politics. You cannot, you know, separate and distance yourself from political behavior. It's part of human life. That's the most important thing of the human life. اگر کوئی آپ سے پوچھے کہ اسلام میں سب سے زیادہ تعلیمات کس موضوع کے بارے میں بیان کی گئی ہیں سب سے زیادہ مواد کس سبجیکٹ کے اوپر پیش کیا گیا سب سے زیادہ مواد اسلام میں ولایت یعنی حکومت اہل بیت کے بارے میں پیش کیا گیا اس سے زیادہ کسی چیز کے بارے میں تاکید نہیں کی گئی وَلَمْ يُنَادَ بِشَيْءٍ حدیث کہہ رہی امام باقر علیہ السلام کی وَلَمْ يُنَادَ بِشَيْءٍ كَمَا نُودِيَ بِالْوَلَايَا لوگوں کو پکارا نہیں گیا جس طریقے سے ولایت کی طرف پکارا گیا تھا اس طریقے سے کسی اور شے کی طرف نہیں پکارا گیا مگر کمال یہ کہ اسی چیز کو چھوڑ دیا گیا اور نیوٹریلیٹی کی بھی کوئی گنجائش نہیں کہ نہ ہم نہ ادھر ہیں نہ ادھر ہیں کیونکہ آپ کی خاموشی کا فائدہ باطل ہی کو پہنچے گا حق کو خاموشی سے فائدہ نہیں پہنچتا پیغمبر اکرم نے پہلے ہی ارشاد فرما دیا Prophet has said already الساکت عن الحق شیطان اخرس Someone who stays quiet over حق is the dumb شیطان This Iblis that me and you are talking about This Iblis, he's not dumb. I mean, he can speak. But this guy who is sakit and silent over haq, he is not ready to talk and support the haq. This guy, in the dictionary of the Holy Prophet, is a dumb Satan. Basically, he's worse than Satan. Isn't that right? He couldn't even speak. So, in the time of Imam al-Baqir al-Islam, one of the ashqiya who participated against Imam Hussein showed up to Imam Baqir al-Islam. And said, Yabna Rasulullah, I was part of the enemy who gathered against your grandfather, Imam Hussein, grandfather Hussein ibn Ali in Karbala. I was part of those enemy, that army. But Yabna Rasulullah, O the son of the Prophet, I did not kill anyone from your ancestors' side. I did not injure anybody. I did not harm anybody. I did not loot any of the tabarrukat. I didn't do any harm against them. I was just standing with the army against Imam Hussein. Is there a chance that I can be forgiven? There are lots of people who have this kind of policy. They are silent against all the atrocities which are going on every day. But let's have the Islam of convenience. Imam Baqir alayhi salam said that inshallah, Khuda tujhe kabhi nahi bakhshega. Inshallah, Allah is never going to forgive you. And then he said, because when Shimr came to slaughter my grandfather, before slaughtering him, he had a look at the whole crowd. And when he looked at the huge gathering which was standing behind with him to support him, his qalb and his heart became strong enough, and then he committed the crime. Because of the strength and quwwat that he gained by looking at the whole crowd which was standing to support them. مولانا فرمایا آپ نے کہ یہ کہہ کے ہم گزر نہیں سکتے ہیں کہ نہیں ہمارا کوئی تعلق نہیں ہے ظلم کرنے تو کیا ہم تو ظلم میں تھوڑی کوئی حصہ ڈال رہے ہیں خاموش تو آپ ہیں So we have to be active towards the walayat and hukumat of Imam Mahdi alayhi salam and his deputy. That's the whole thing what we learned from the message of Karbala. So that we don't repeat what has happened to Hazrat Musa ibn Aqil, to one na'ib of Imam Hussain alayhi salam. How are we behaving towards the na'ib of Imam Mahdi alayhi salam today? This is our litmus test. باتیں کریں نا آپ لوگوں سے نہیں ہم سے زیادہ تو اہل بیت سے چاہنے والا کوئی بھی نہیں ہے مولانا ہمارے یہاں 17 سال سے حلیم کی مجلس ہوتی ہے مجلس حلیم کی نہیں ہوتی مجلس تو امام حسین کی ہوتی ہے پہلی بات ہے مگر ایکشن سپیک لاؤڈر آپ کی پالیسیز آپ کتنا فائدہ پہنچا رہے ہیں اہل بیت کے ولایت اور ان کی حکومت ان کی امامت کے مشن کو لیٹ یور ایکشن سپیک لاؤڈر کون لنا زینن ولا تکون علینا شینن ہمارے اعمال جو ہیں وہ ثابت کریں کہ ہم اہل بیت کے شیعہ و پیروکار ان کے نفس قدم پہ چلنے والے ہیں سو اگر ہمارے اعمال تو یہ تو اعمال تو اس وقت ثابت ہوں گے کہ جب ہمارے پاس ہم علم سیکھیں گے اور عالمانہ باتوں کو پسند کریں گے ٹھیک ہے پھر عالم کی تو قدر وہ کرے گا جس کو علم کی قدر ہو جس آدمی کو علم ہی کی قدر نہیں ہے وہ عالم کی کیا قدر کرے گا صاحب علم کی قدر تو اس وقت ہوگی جب آپ کے پاس پہلے علم کی قدر پائی جاتی ہو علم و جہل میں فرق پتا ہو آپ کو نور و ظلمت کا فرق پتا ہو آپ کو تب آپ علم کی قدر کریں گے تب آپ عالم کی قدر کریں گے آپ دیکھیے کہ بعض علماء نے یہ نقل کیا ہے امام حسین علیہ السلام نے کسی کو لکھ کے دعوت نہیں دی اپنی طرف نہیں بلایا غنی بے نیاز اللہ کے اسم الغنی کے بھی مظہر ہیں 1000 نام ہیں اللہ تعالیٰ کے اور 1000 کے 1000 تمام کے تمام ناموں کے کامل ترین مظہر ہیں اسم الغنی کے بھی مظہر ہے بے نیاز ہیں حسین ابن علی اگر بلایا کسی کو تو کس کو بلایا من الحسین ابن علی الى الرجل الفقیح حبیب ابن مظاہر الاسد حبیب ابن مظاہر حسین ابن علی کی طرف سے اس مرد کی جانب کہ جو فقیح فقاہت کا علم رکھتا ہے فقاہت ہے اس کے پاس تفقہ فی الدین ہے گہرائی کے ساتھ دین کو سمجھتا ہے فقیح ہے حبیب ابن مظاہر کیا شان ہے جناب حبیب نے مظاہر کی جب جناب مظاہر اپنے صاحبزادے کو جناب حبیب چھوٹے سے تھے اپنے صاحبزادے کو لے کر پیغمبر کی زیارت کے لیے تشریف لائے اور پیغمبر نے یہ منظر دیکھا کہ امام حسین تو چھوٹے سے تھے وہ چل رہے ہیں اور حبیب امام حسین کے نقش قدم پہ قدم رکھتے ہوئے بڑھ رہے ہیں حسین کی خاک پاک اٹھاتے جاتے ہیں اپنے سر پہ ڈالتے جاتے ہیں خاک اٹھاتے ہیں اپنے سر پہ ڈالتے ہیں پیغمبر سے نہ رہا گیا ایک مرتبہ پیغمبر نے بڑھ کے بڑی محبت کا مظاہرہ کیا حبیب کے ساتھ بڑی محبت اور شفقت سے پیش آئے اب جو مظاہر جناب مظاہر نے پوچھا تو بیان فرمایا میں نے دیکھا کہ یہ بچہ حسین کے قدموں کی خاک کو اپنے سر پہ لگا رہا ہے ملاحظہ فرمایا کہ کیا کس طریقے سے پالا تھا جناب مظاہر نے اپنے بچوں کو کس انداز سے پرورش کی تھی کہ حسین کے قدموں کی خاک کو آنکھوں کا سرما سمجھتے تھے چنانچہ اب جو خط پہنچتا ہے میرے مظلوم امام کی طرف سے آنکھوں سے خط کو لگایا مولا امام حسین کی لکھی ہوئی عبادت دیکھی آنکھوں سے خط کو لگایا اب گھر کے اندر داخل ہوئے زوجہ موجود ہے پوچھتی ہے وہ مومنہ کہ کس کا خط ہے قاصد کیا لے کر آیا ہے کہا میرے مولا حسین کا خط ہے کیا لکھا ہے حسین ابن علی نے کہا لکھا ہے کہ یہ کہ حبیب ہم نرغہ آدھا میں گھر گئے ہم نظر آدم گر گئے یہ ایک مرتبہ لکھا اور وَأَنْتَ تَعْلَمُ قَرَابَتِ مِن رَسُولِ اللَّهِ اور تم ہماری قرابت رسول اللہ سے واقف. کتنی قرابت ہے امام حسین رسول اللہ سے؟ یاد ہے نا آپ کو کتنی قرابت ہے؟ کہ امام حسین اگر چھوٹے سے ہیں اور پیغمبر سجدے میں ہیں اور حسین پیغمبر کی پشت پہ آ گئے تو اب جبرائیل کو اللہ نے نازل کیا کہ آپ اس وقت سجدے سے سر نہ اٹھائیں جب تک حسین خود سر ہٹ نہ جائیں. آپ کی پشت سے 70 مرتبہ پیغمبر نے سبحان ربی الاعلی وبحمدہ سبحان ربی الاعلی وبحمدہ 70 مرتبہ تکرار کیا یہاں تک کہ حسین خود سے اتر گئے. اب سمجھ یاد آئی نا قرابت کتنی قرابت ہے رسول اللہ کے ساتھ. وَأَنْتَ تَعْلَمُ قَرَابَتِي مِن رَسُولِ اللَّهِ انت تعلم قرابتی من رسول اللہ لہذا اب اگر آ سکتے ہو تو آ جاؤ. یہ سننا تھا تو وہ مومنہ پوچھتی ہے کہ پھر کیا ارادہ کیا؟ تو حبیب کہتے ہیں کہ میں یہ سوچتا ہوں کہ اگر میں تمہیں چھوڑ کے چلا جاؤں پیچھے تمہارا کیا ہوگا. یہ سننا تھا کہ بعض روایتوں میں ہے مومنہ نے اپنی چادر اٹھا کے حبیب کے اوپر پھینکی کہ اگر تم مولا امام حسین ارے فاطمہ کا لال تمہیں پکار رہا ہے اور تم مدد کے لیے جانے کو تیار نہیں ہو اگر تم نہ جاؤ گے تو میں اپنے مولا کی خدمت میں جان قربان کرنے کے لیے چلی جاؤں گی. حبیب نے سننا تھا کہا کہ مومنہ میں تو تیرا امتحان لے رہا تھا ارے یہ کیسے ہو سکتا ہے کہ میرے مولا حسین مجھے دعوت دے اور میں نہ جاؤں یہ تو نہیں ہو سکتا. غلام کو روانہ کیا اپنے گھوڑے کو فلا مقام تک پہنچا دیا جائے کیونکہ کوفے کی ناکہ بندی ہوئی ہے ابن زیاد نے فوجی پہرا کھڑا کیا ہوا ہے. غلام گھوڑے کو لے کے اس مقام تک پہنچ گیا. اب جو حبیب کے پہنچنے میں تھوڑی سی تاخیر ہوئی تو دیکھتے ہیں یہ بعض علماء نے نقل کیا کہ اب جب حبیب وہاں پہنچتے ہیں تو دیکھتے ہیں غلام محوِ گفتگو ہے گھوڑے کے ساتھ گفتگو کر رہا ہے اگر میرا آقا تم پر سوار ہونے کے لیے نہیں آیا تو گھبرانا مت میں تم پہ سوار ہو کے جاؤں گا امام حسین پر جان قربان کرنے کے لیے. یہ سننا تھا کہ حبیب سے رہا نہیں گیا رونے لگے ایک مرتبہ آنکھوں سے آنسو جاری کہنے لگے کہ ارے مولا آپ کے اوپر کہا کہ یہ کہا کہ مولا آپ پہ کیسا وقت آ گیا کہ آپ پر غلام بھی گریا کر رہے ہیں. غلام سے کہا جا میں نے تجھے راہ خدا میں آزاد کیا. غلام کہتا ہے یہ تو انصاف نہیں ہوا جب تک میں آپ کی خدمت میں رہا اس وقت تک مجھے رکھا اب جب مولا حسین کی خدمت میں جا رہے ہیں تو مجھے آزاد کر دیا ارے میں بھی اپنے مولا پہ جا کے جان قربان کروں گا. غلام کو ہمراہ لیا ادھر حسین ابن علی ہیں جو رایات تقسیم کر رہے ہیں پرچم تقسیم کر رہے ہیں ایک ایک شخص کا پرچم تقسیم کیا جا رہا ہے مگر ایک پرچم کو ایک علم کو میرے مولا نے کنارے رکھ دیا اس کو الگ رہنے دیا اسے کسی کو تقسیم نہیں کیا. اب جو پوچھنے والے نے پوچھا کہ مولا اس پرچم کو آپ نے کسی کو نہیں دیا فرمایا اس کا حقدار ابھی آنے والا ہے. ابھی تھوڑی ہی دیر گزری تھی ارباب مقاتل لکھتے ہیں کہ کوفے کے سمس کی سمس سے غبار نمودار ہوا حبیب ابن مظاہر اصحاب نے بڑھ کے استقبال کیا. شہزادی فضہ کو جناب زینب نے بھیجا کہ جا کے پتا تو کرو ابھی تو ظاہر ہے شہزادی کو یہی خبریں ملی تھی اب عمر بن سعد کا لشکر آ گیا اب فلاں لشکر آ گیا ابھی تک تو یہی خبریں مل رہی تھی اب کون آیا ہے. اب جو فضہ واپس آئی ہے جناب زینب کو بتایا کہ مولا کے بچپن کے جانثار حبیب ابن مظاہر مولا پہ جان قربان کرنے کے لیے آئے ہیں. شہزادی نے کہا جاؤ حبیب کو میرا سلام کہنا. روایت میں عجیب فقرہ ملتا ہے ایک مرتبہ حبیب ابن مظاہر خاک کربلا پہ بیٹھ گئے ایک مرتبہ حبیب خاک کربلا پہ بیٹھ گئے خاک کو اٹھا کے اپنے سر پہ ڈالنا شروع کیا. ارے کیا زمانہ آ گیا کہ اب شہزادیاں غلاموں کو سلام کہیں.
ألا لعنة الله على القوم الظالمين وسيعلم الذين ظلموا أي منقلب منقلبون إنا لله وإنا إليه راجعون إلهي بحق الصحراء وأبيها وبعدها وغنيها والسر المستودع فيها بار لها برجم إسلام کو سر بلند فرما برجم کفر و شرک و نفاق کو سر نگون فرما انقلاب اسلام کی حفاظت فرما تمام علماء ربانیین تمام مراجع کرام بالخصوص رہبر انقلاب کا سایہ ہمارے سر پر برقرار تمام مجاہدین اسلام کی توفیق میں اضافہ فرما تمام مومنین کی جان و مال و آبرو کی حفاظت فرما تمام مومنین کو وظائف شرعیہ پر عمل کرنے کی توفیق عنایت فرما تمام مومنین کی مشروع حاجات کو پورا فرما ہمیں اس وقت تک اس دنیا سے نہ اٹھا جب تک امام زمانہ ہم سے راضی نہ ہو رہے ان کے ظہور میں تعجیل فرما ہم سب کو ان کے انصار و اشیاع میں قرار دے ربنا تقبل منا انك انت السميع العليم بجاہ محمد و آلہ المیامین یا حسین
یا حسین